I suggest you get your notebook out, mainly also your Bible, because we're going to be referencing, reading from the verses, as well as some of the footnotes. That's for just recording? All right. So while you're taking that out, I just want to introduce myself to you. My name is Chris. The last name is a little bit difficult. It's Tzu. The spelling is T-Z-U. Okay, so we won't go into detail about that. But I was saved when I was 7 years old. It's funny, I don't remember anything when I was seven, except one thing, that I was in a gospel meeting in Taiwan in a little town called Siling, and I was sitting over there, and the brother was preaching the gospel, and they were asking, who wants to receive salvation? It was just a fire burning inside of me, but I was too short. So, and I was sitting way in the back, because that gospel meeting was for the adults. And so I was raising my hand. Those who want to receive the gospel, please raise your hand. I was raising my hand. Nobody paid attention to me because I was too short, sitting in the back. So finally, I just said, well, I got to do something about this. So I stood on the chair and waved. Right? And they said, whose kid is that? Yeah, whose kid is that? Right? Is he serious or is he just playing around? And I was serious. And I said, I want to be baptized. 7 years old. I could not remember too many things other than say, Lord Jesus, I want to receive you as my Savior. Right. And that has been a life, of course, it changes my life.
Right.
This year, I'm 57. So it was 50 years ago. 50 years ago, I said, Lord, I love you. I want to receive you and I want to be baptized. Between 7 and 57, I had to confess, I felt like at times I was like the Israelite that going through the circular routes. So yeah, circling a lot in the wilderness, right? Yeah. Running around here and there. But praise the Lord, dear saints, I'm here.
Amen.
Amen. And praise the Lord, saints, you are here.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we thank you.
Amen.
Thank you that you're gathering us here tonight.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. We realize this is not very easy. Oh, Lord, that we are all here, open to you. And you are asking us this question, Lord. Where is my house? Lord Jesus, tonight we want to open to you and respond to you. Lord, we are your house. Oh, Lord, we are building your house. Praise the Lord. I hope this is your prayer. Because certainly tonight, I'm not here to give a message, but I do like to have some fellowship with you. This is my feeling. This is my feeling that the Lord, you know, I think this is possibly my 23rd years in the summer school of the truth.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So out of the 50 years, about 23 years I've been spending here. But I really... This time, I just want to open up to you. You can agree, you can disagree, and that's fine. But I really just want to get it out there right now and tell you, I just have a sense this year is different. This year, the Lord want to take us further. The Lord needs you to go further. The Lord almost needs a new generation of young people. The time, we really feel the time is right. The ages come, the ages go, but there's a sense, there's a feeling, there's a burden within us. This is the time. I don't know if you agree or you disagree, but anyway, I just want to share it with you. May this time, many of you, even tonight, that you will open your heart to the Lord. Open to his question to you. Where is my house? Where's my resting place? For that, we need a new generation. You're going to be different. You're going to be different from the previous generation of young people, which we have seen a lot in the past 23 years. We praise the Lord, some of them, many of them still here. But I'm hoping, we're praying, we're expecting that you all gonna be standing on the shoulders of many of these ones that have gone before you, that you'll go further. I hope that is an amen from you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you could, open to message number 10. And I want to set my clock here so that if the Lord so move us tonight, I hope there's time for you to consecrate yourself. Amen. I was very touched by, well, we all know who that is. It's the brother who said he consecrated himself. He made a vow to the Lord. I think it was more than just a consecration. He made a vow to the Lord. He wrote it down. He kept it in his wallet. That's more than a consecration. In Leviticus chapter 27, it wasn't just a consecration. It was a vow, a devotion, a declaration. It's like when you die, you said, I'm going to give all my stuff to my children, but you just want to make sure you're serious about it. You write it in your will. Right. You write it down. That's how serious you are. So in Leviticus 27, after the Lord had given us everything, the church life, right, the offering, the feast, the way to live, the food, the Lord is asking, who will devote yourselves? What? My concept is, brother, my concept, I'm glad the brother adjusted my concept. Lord, I will do something for you. The brother Lee said, no. You devote for what? You make a vow for what? He provided everything. He's expecting you with someone, with some of you, be open to make a vow to enjoy me. Everything I provided to you, everything I have set up for you. This is the very last message of the life study of Leviticus. It ends, maybe I'm wrong, maybe it's one before the last. It ends with devotion, making a vow, which is a stronger consecration. I hope tonight the Lord permits, the Lord moves you. There will be many of you who make a vow to be the age turner. You will be the new generation that's going to bring the Lord return. All right? Amen. I think let's read the title together, session 10. Go. Amen. So there are two parts. I'll be sharing the first part. I want to try to follow the outline because there's something in here in the outlines that really inspired me. And I hope it too will inspire you. Amen. First, it's Hebrews 10:25. Can we open to that? Hebrews 10:25. And actually, would you add another verse in there? Hebrews 10:26. So you're going to read Hebrews. Brothers, 10:25. Sisters, 10:26. You're all very familiar with this verse, but it was fresh to me. This verse was fresh to me, and with the help of the footnote and verse 26, I was much helped, because I think we have a problem here tonight. That is, when you see the word meeting, you immediately said, I know what a meeting is. What are we doing here now? We're in a meeting, right? So, like I said, oh, meeting, I know meetings. Well, keep an open mind. Hopefully, the Lord will touch you in the same way He has touched me, right? That this meeting is a very, very significant part of our church life. And I don't think we have given enough credit, nor do we pay enough attention and respect to these feasts. Every time we come together, our meeting should be a feast. That means you cannot enjoy it by yourself. Just think about it. If I were able to record that, better stop. But anyway, if I were able to record what we just sang over there, or the hymns that we sang, you would never be able to reach that level of enjoyment by yourself at home. Can you sing? Do you sing "Spend the Church Life" at home by yourself? Anybody done that? I'll be hard pressed to find out anybody who say, "Do you sing 'Spend the Church Life' in your morning time with the Lord?" Probably Brother Dennis does. Brother Ricky would do that. But most of us, it's hard, right? Because the church life and the meeting life involves all the saints. Okay, let's get to the Hebrew. Brothers. All right. Sisters, 26.
For when he sinned willfully, after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice of bulls and goats for sin.
Dear saints, 26 is connected to 25. When we abandon, when we despise our meetings together, our flocking together, we go against the very life that the Lord had given us. The day we receive the Lord, the day we have received the full salvation, there is a life. And that life is a life wanted to be together with all those who share the same life. Footnote 25:1. 25:1. Yes. Maybe we can read it together, or yes, I think it would be good we read it together. I think this is a very good one. Listen, here it says, for the Hebrew believers. Right? Obviously, this letter was written to the Hebrews at that time. But the principle applies. The principle applies. Okay? So, please go ahead. Let's go. For the Hebrew believers, at their time and their situation, to abandon their own assembling together would have been to abandon the new covenant way of contacting God. To abandon the church and return to their old religion, Judaism. This would have broken God's administration of grace, thus constituting a serious sin before God. As I was telling you, dear brother and sister, in principle it applies. We don't want to sin against God. When we abandon, I don't abandon the meetings. We do from time to time. When we despise, when we do not treasure this very gathering that the Lord had called us, this life had called you to be, in principle, we're abandoning. And that is sinful in the eyes of God. Right. Now, I don't want to scare you or make this a legal issue because this is only the first part. So, dear saints, at least I want to set the record straight. Meeting together is ordained by God. Right. It says it in there. Whenever you read something in the recoveries, it says it's ordained by God, you pay attention to that. Because it is what? It's ordained by God. So, wow, it takes a genius to figure that one out. But it is ordained by God, and therefore we need to respect that, with given the utmost respect. So, therefore, saints, I'd like to share with you, particularly, Roman numeral 1, go. The meetings of the church for the building up of the church. Point 8, this is a very, very important point. Brothers.
Amen.
Right. What is our law of existence and blessing? Is where?
Meeting.
It's in the meeting. Dear saints, treasure the meetings. Oh, we treasure the meetings. Lord Jesus, there's a law over there. It's ordained by God. I hope you treasure the meetings. Never, never again said, I'm not important in the young people's meeting. Never, ever again you think, well, the Lord's table starts at 10 o'clock. I'll be there by 10:30, just when when the bread has been dispensed. I'll be there. I'll take the bread. I'll fulfill my obligation. Oh, dear saint, no. No. We want to share every. We want to be there early. We want to be there to receive every last parts of the Spirit that the Lord is imparting. Oh, Lord Jesus. Dear saints, do not. Do not. Do not look down on any of the meetings. Young people's meeting, prayer meeting, oh, the ministry meetings. Oh, particularly, I want to point it out, particularly, did I say particularly? Particularly, the Lord's table. There's one meeting that is explicitly mentioned, ordained, specified by the Lord himself. Said, you do this, you remember me. The Lord has invited you. The Lord has invited us. This is his table. We do not have any say in this. He is the host presiding over the Lord's table. Amen. Oh, dear saints. Amen. Oh, I hope you'll be motivated. Amen. Oh, be encouraged. Amen. The Lord's table. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is ordained by God. Oh, Lord Jesus. And we saw Brother Peter share last night. God, our God, is a very ordered God. Everything is set in order, and everything has its nature and law that governs it. You have received a life that is flocking together. If you're not happy, I think some of you are probably not living very happily, joyously. It's because you're going against this life that's in you. How can you do that? That's your life. And it's time to come to the young people's meeting? He said, well, I don't know. They don't need me. No, they need you. Oh, sometimes we say, we don't need them. No, you need him. You need them. Praise the Lord. I think we're going to get on. Because of time, we can't read every one of them. Let's go on to the next one. D. What is the goal? What is the goal? The goal of the church meeting being to gather together to exhibit Christ. When we come together, we should present the Christ whom we have experienced and offer him to God to be his food. Lord Jesus. This we need to turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in your Bible. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. Again, a very, very famous and well-known verse. First Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. Okay, if you found it, let's read it. Who has the footnote? Who has a footnote on that one? The footnote on, what does it mean, has? You have it on the footnote on has? Mm-hmm. All right, let's go.
Has occurred five times in this verse.
Five times. Amen. Go.
Has occurred five times in this verse.
is a widely used Greek word, a word with many meanings, of which the following three are the main ones: to hold, to possess, to keep a certain thing, to have a certain thing for enjoyment, to have the means or power to do a certain thing.
Okay, we'll stop over there. Now skip down. If you can find it in there, there's a word, a sentence begins with before coming to the meeting. You find it? Skip down. Before coming to the meeting. You found it? Let's go. Before coming to the meeting, we should prepare ourselves for the meeting, such thing from the Lord and of the Lord, either through our experiences of Him or through our enjoyment of His Word and fellowship with Him in prayer. After coming to the meeting, we need not wait. And let's repeat that. Let's repeat that. After coming to the meeting, you what?
Need not wait.
Uh-huh. Should not wait. For what? Don't wait for inspiration. You prepare ahead of time. You come with a prayerful heart. Right? Whether you're in subway, you're on bus, you're driving, however you're getting there, there is a period of time as you're going over there. You pray. And Brother Dan's going to tell you a lot more about prayer. Prayer is the key. If I may tell you, you want to write that down, prayer is the key for you to enjoy, for you to have something to contribute, to bring to the meeting. If you want to write that down, that'd be very good, because we need prayers. That's another burden that's really, really burning my heart. Dear saints, we are lack of prayers. You go to the meeting, it's as if, wow, something's going to be prepared for you. Somebody's going to give a good message. We're going to have a great meeting. Yes, there will be. But the Lord is asking you the same question. Are you building my house? What are you bringing? Dear saints, do not wait for inspiration. We should exercise, let's go, we should exercise our spirit and use our trained mind to function in presenting what we have prepared for the Lord, for His glory and satisfaction, and to the attendants for their benefit, their enlightenment, nourishment, and building up. Dear saints, the job has been cut out for you. I hoped this is all I'm able to cover today, given the time. But I hope that you will not let this outline go. I hoped that you will pray over this. Our meetings occupies a very, very important part, very, very important part of our church life.
Right.
You think about it. You think about it. You receive inspiration, right? You receive comfort. You receive revelation. You receive visions. I'm not saying your personal life is not important. Mm-hmm. But the meeting time, God has separated the meeting time so that He can inspire you, so that He can reveal something of His heart to you.
Amen.
And the meeting cannot reach its full function without you. Because here is talking about what are you bringing. Each one has. My closing word for you, with you, dear saints, this part in the body of Christ, there's a function, there's a position, there's a part that in the church life that only you can fulfill.
Amen. Amen.
I don't know if you believe that or not. I didn't believe that when the brother was sharing with me as growing up. They say the same thing. I'm not the first one who invented this. They said the same thing to me. I said, oh, yeah, sure. But in time, it became clear to me. There's a part in the church life, in God's building, in the meeting that only you are able to fulfill. And if you renege, if you do not function according to the part, the portion that the Lord has assigned to you, you are not functioning according to what the Lord wants you to function. If I may dare say, you're slowing down the Lord's return. Dear saints, I don't know how you feel. The world is pretty bad. The world today is pretty bad. Do you really want to delay the Lord's coming back any further? Seriously. We're not just saying this just to feel. This world has gone to some serious, serious time. And I don't even think you need to be an expert or some PhD to figure this out. Dear saints, our meeting is not just meeting. Our meeting is for the building up of the body of Christ. And my exhortation to you is, there's a part that only you can fulfill. There's a part that only you, that God has ordained for you to function. Praise the Lord. I hope you can consider that.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus. We have found that meeting with the saints is the greatest joy on earth. 'Tis by this. Let's all say that. 'Tis by this. By what? Meeting with the saints is the greatest joy on earth. 'Tis by this. Our spirit never faints. And our lives
are filled with worth.
Our lives are filled with worth. Praise the Lord. Our lives are filled with worth. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Are you seeing? Amen. Are you seeing?
Amen.
Are you getting to know?
Amen.
So what do we have to do?
Build.
We have to build. Amen. The meetings and prayer go hand in hand with the building. My name is Dan Paley. Hi. I'm living in Spain these days. I'm originally from Philadelphia, for those who don't know me. But my wife and I migrated to Spain 5 years ago for the Lord's move in Europe.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But every time summer rolls around and there's summer school of the truth in the northeast of the United States, you'll probably find me here.
Amen.
It's like a homing pigeon. I just come back. Let's read the title of the second part of this message. Roman numeral 2, altogether with a strong spirit.
Amen.
The prayer ministry of the church. Say it again.
The prayer ministry of the church.
Now, anytime I ask you a question and I want a response, I want an honest response. We're all brothers and sisters here. No one's trying to put anybody on the spot. I just want an honest response. How many here, it's the first time they ever heard the expression, the prayer ministry of the church? Raise your hand. Yeah. Amen. That's what I thought. The prayer ministry of the church. We want to talk tonight about the prayer ministry of the church, and we want to talk about prayer. And we certainly hope that the Lord will enlighten us all and give us help in this area. We saw in the message this morning, the brother shared how the Lord, before he went to the cross, he prayed. And he said, not my will, but thy will be done. So God has a will, right? He has an eternal purpose. He has a heart's desire. el beneplácito de su corazón. I just like the way that sounds. Oh, that's a heart's good pleasure in Spanish. Anyway, he has a will to carry that out. Praise the Lord. We have a God with a will. But Peter also shared with us last night that there's someone else in the universe that has a will. Does anyone remember who that is? Satan, Lucifer, has a will. He said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Isaiah 14. You should write these verses down. You don't have to look them up. Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. I want you to read those on your own. I will, 5 times. You know, I was reminded, one of my daughters, Esperanza, Hope, she was little, and she just learned to walk. And, you know, Dad, my little girl, learned to walk. So I decided to take her outside for her first walk. And I picked her up, and I carried her out front, and I put her down on the sidewalk. And she, you know, she was ready to go. And I reached down. Daddy wanted to hold her little hand. I walk, I walk, I walk. What is that? So I reached again. I walk, I walk, I walk. She was barely one, a little over one. I walk, I walk, I will, I will. Brothers and sisters, that rebellion is in us from the womb. And God, all over the earth, is facing, I will, I will, I will. But God has a will. And the church's destiny is to carry out that will. So we want to look at some things that are real important, okay? Amen. Now, the first thing I want to do is read B under 2. All together, read B under 2. Believers Matthew 6:10, the Lord Jesus talking to his disciples about prayer. You then pray in this way. Our Father who is in the heavens, your name be sanctified. Your kingdom come, your will be done as in heaven, so also on earth. So we see here that not only does God have a will, but the church has been charged to bring that will from the heavens down to the earth. Amen. Oh, brothers and sisters, we have to pray.
Right.
We have to pray. Amen?
Yes.
We have to pray. We want to take a look now at a couple of points here. Point 3 under B. Could you read that to me, please, with a strong spirit? Unless he does it through the church. There's a portion in your book. Do you have your book with you?
Yeah.
Could you get it out and turn to page 227, please? 227. In my edition. And on the right-hand side, about 10 lines down, there's a sentence that begins, the ministry of the church, appropriately. This is 227 is the second page in my edition. It on the right-hand side, about 10 lines down, you'll see the ministry of the church is to bring. Do you have that?
It doesn't start. It's in the middle of the paragraph.
It's in the middle of the paragraph on page 227 in my book. It's under Roman numeral 2, the prayer ministry of the church. It's under Roman numeral 2. It's actually the first paragraph, about halfway down on the right-hand side. It begins, the ministry of the church is to bring. Do you all have that?
Yes.
Okay, if you have it, could you read it? Till the end of the paragraph. The ministry
of the church is to bring the will of heaven to earth. How does the church bring the will of heaven to earth?
Hallelujah. Prayer is a work.
Prayer is the church saying to God, God, we want your will. Prayer is the church knowing God's heart and opening its mouth to ask for what is in God's heart. If the church does not do this, it does not have much use on earth.
If the church does not do this, it does not have much use on the earth. The church is just not here for people to get together on Sunday, okay? The church is here to bring the will of God from heaven to earth. And that is done by prayer. So we want to look at prayer a little bit. We want to get some help with prayer. We all need help with prayer. I need help with prayer. We all need help with prayer. So let's go on down and read C. There are mainly
two types of prayer. The prayer to have fellowship with God and prayer for God's work.
One, please. The significance
of the prayer of fellowship is that we use our spirit to contact God, to absorb God, and to have our entire being brought back to our spirit to have fellowship with Him.
We've had some sharing and some fellowship already from the brothers of the importance of time with the Lord. Fellowship with the Lord. To contact God and to absorb God. All prayer begins from there. That's the foundation of all prayer. I want you to look up a verse. It's Mark 1:35. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. When you have it, look up at me. Mark 1:35. And reading, please. Who can tell me who he is in this verse? Who's he?
Jesus.
Early in the morning, he went out into a private place, and there he what? Prayed. Now, let me ask you a question. Does it tell us what he said? Does it tell us what he said? No. Now, there's a lot of places in the Word where the Lord prays, and it tells us what he said. It doesn't say anything about what he said. Are there instructions here in the prayer? No instructions. Like, pray in this way. Not there. There's nothing like that. It's he went out into a solitary place and there he prayed. He contacted God and he absorbed God. You know, the Lord said, the Father is always with me. Now, there's a reason for that. Because he contacted the Father and absorbed the Father. So private fellowship with the Lord is the first and most important thing in our prayer. I want you to go ahead and read 2. After a foundation is laid for us to go on and petition God for his work. So the first step is always private fellowship with the Lord. Amen. Now, in this time that we've been here, these 5 days, we're now into our 6th day. Who here, raising your hand, has had private contact and fellowship with the Lord? Amen. Raise your hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Me too. Was it sweet?
Amen.
Was it enjoyable?
Amen.
Would you like to do it more?
Amen.
Okay, do it more. Amen. Do it more. If you can do it early in the morning, better. But any time that you can do it, find that time. Touch the Lord. Absorb him and contact him. That's where the foundation is laid for prayer for the Lord's move and work, which we're going to continue to get into. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go on now and read D.
We need to pray individually and corporately. On one hand, we need to enter into our private room to pray to the Father who is in secret. And on the other hand, we need to pray corporately for the Lord's work and move.
Amen. So we have to have that private time first, but then there's prayer for the Lord's move. And I wanted to spend a little time, if we could, in a book in the Old Testament called Daniel. The book of Daniel. I mean, it happens to be one of my favorite books. My name has nothing to do with it. You know, Daniel is known for a lot of things. There's a lot of phenomenal prophecy there. And of course, you know, we know Daniel and his companions, you know. But you know, Daniel only has 12 chapters, and it is loaded with prayer.
Right.
If you want to see people who prayed, go to Daniel. Don't read Daniel for the monsters coming out in the horned thing and the, you know. I mean, it's there. Praise the Lord. But go there and read, and let your focus be prayer, and you're going to find some stuff. And we're going to look at some of this stuff now for the next points, okay? So the first verses that we want to look at are Daniel chapter 2, verse 16 through 19. Daniel chapter 2. We're talking about prayer for the Lord's work and move. Now I'm going to set this up for you a little bit, okay? King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and it bothered him. He was terribly upset with it. And he called in all his magicians and soothsayers and said, I had this dream, and it's just scaring me to death here. I don't know what to do. I want you to interpret it for me. And they said, no problem. Just tell us the dream, and we'll interpret it. Or in other words, tell us the dream, and we'll make something up, and you'll believe us. He said, oh, there's one problem. I don't remember the dream. So I want you to tell me the dream that I can't remember that I dreamed.
Right.
And then I want you to interpret it for me. And they said, dude, no, nobody can do that. We need to know the dream. And he got furious. He just went, I'll tell you what, you can't tell me the dream. I'm going to kill you all. And everybody else who's supposed to be a wise man in my kingdom, they're all going down. Now, Daniel got this message. He heard this. And he said, because they were one of these people, you know, him and his three companions. So he went to Nebuchadnezzar's gatekeeper. You know, the big guys always have gatekeepers, you know. You can't get to the big guy. You know, they screen his calls. They screen his appointments. But Daniel, you know, he was well known. So he got in. He said, let me go in and talk to the king, and I'm going to take care of this. Okay, go ahead. So he said, listen, king, give me a few minutes. Give me a little time. I need a little time, and I'll take care of this. So Nebuchadnezzar said, well, okay. You go ahead, but, you know, you better take care of it. I'm going to kill everybody. So I want to read these verses now. Daniel 2, 16 through 19. And we're going to have sisters read 16, brothers 17, sisters 18, and brothers 19, and then we're all going to read 20 together. So go ahead with 16. His companions.
Everyone on 20.
Daniel and
Hallelujah. He went and got his companions corporately praying. You know, private prayer is the most important thing, but corporate prayer is really important. And, you know, you'll run into things in your life. You're going to run into things. I don't think some king's going to threaten to kill you, but you're going to run into things. Get your companions. Don't deal with it on your own. Because when you get your companions together and you pray about it, what happens? It gets taken care of. It got revealed to Daniel. And if you read the whole account, which I encourage you to do, then everybody was happy. Their status in the kingdom rose. Their everything was much better. And who got the glory? God. Daniel gave the glory to God. So we need corporate prayer. And right there you see 2-3 companions. Who here has companions that they pray with? Amen. Wonderful. It's very important. Keep it up. Because corporate prayer for the Lord's move and the Lord's work is very key. Okay. We're going to stay on prayer a little bit. Because these are important points. And I really hope that you know, they're impressed on you. Okay. We're going to go to the next point. E. All together. Many times okay, specific prayer and persevering in prayer. Now, there's a lot of probably examples I could choose for specific prayer, but I happen to have a fresh one. First of all, the weather was pretty bad when we got here. And the forecast didn't look too good. You know, thunder showers around. So the brothers were meeting. It was Friday. And the weather didn't look too good. But one brother shared, you know, we don't have to take this lying down. You know, God is our Father. I think He can do something about the weather. So we all prayed, Lord, the weather. Lord, take care of the weather so we can have a good environment. The young people have a good environment. Amen. For you, for your move, for your work. Well, the weather cleared up a little bit later that day, and it's been relatively wonderful ever since. A little warm, but relatively wonderful ever since, hasn't it? I mean, imagine if it was thunderstorms all the time, like when we first got here, all week. The Lord said, no, but you got to pray. You got to pray. So we prayed. Okay. That was still relatively general. I mean, it was about the weather, but relatively general. Okay. Then the power went out. Whew, that was fun, wasn't it? I told the junior hires, it was like camping. We're all out there with their flashlights and their camping. We had a good time, right? But we did want it to get fixed because, it was getting a little warm there. So it's now Sunday. It went out Saturday. And then Sunday, we're there. You know, I mean, I even gave the message to the junior hires on Sunday in D. It were a little warm. Amen. Hallelujah. So it's 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the afternoon. We're meeting with the brothers. And we're all concerned about the power. Lord, put the power on. Lord, we need to pray, you know, and it was shared. We're not really sure if they really know yet what's wrong. And if they do, that we don't really know how they're going to get the trucks in because it's in the woods. And, you know, it didn't really sound too good. Like, man, we might be here all week in this. You know, that's what I'm thinking, right? So we got to pray. Lord, the power. Lord, not for comfort, Lord, but Lord, the power. For the environment. And then, I'm just going to say it, Brother Ricky decides to say, Amen, Lord, and we want the power on by 7 o'clock. Amen. And I don't know how many other brothers were there like me, but I went, Amen. Really? Amen, Lord. You know, one half of my brain is going, Amen, Lord. The other's going, Really? It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We don't even know if they know what's wrong. We don't even know if they can get to the problem. And Brother Ricky decides to tell the Lord that we want it by 7. Okay, 3 hours from now, power on. 6:32, the power came on. That doesn't even need any embellishment, does it? 6:32, the Lord said, I'll give you a little time to cool things off.
Wow.
Specific.
Right.
Specific prayer.
Right.
You know, I'll give you an example. Lord, bless your move in Europe.
Right.
Not a bad prayer. That's a good prayer. I hope you're all praying that.
Right.
We need it.
Right.
Specific prayer. Lord, we need 700,000 euros by the end of July to buy a new meeting hall.
Amen.
Really?
Yes.
I know the saints in Madrid are going, really? Where are you going to get 700,000 euros in 2 months? Or we're going to get it from the Lord. That's where we're going to get it.
Right.
Oh, by the way, we got all the money. And over and above all the money.
Amen.
We have enough to buy the meeting hall and remodel it.
Amen.
Above all that we can think and ask.
Amen.
So there's just an example. Lord, bless your move in Europe. Amen. Lord, Munich. Lord, Munich. Lord, Berlin needs a meeting hall. Lord, Addis Ababa needs a good meeting hall, Lord. Now we're getting specific with the Lord. And you know what really makes the Lord happy? When we get specific with him. You go, Lord, bless your move in Europe. Yeah, okay. I got that. Lord, $1 million. In 2 months. Oh, now you're talking. Yeah. Now you got my attention. Specific prayer, okay?
Yeah.
Number two, persevering in prayer.
Amen.
You know, as some brothers, I've been hearing this lately, and it's new to me. I really like it. You got to pray it through.
Right.
You got to pray it all the way through, okay? Now, I want you to turn to Daniel chapter 10. I want to show you why we need to pray it all the way through. Not halfway, not three quarters of the way, but you have to pray it all the way through. So in Daniel chapter 10, let me set it up for you. Daniel had a vision, and the vision upset Daniel, and he sought the Lord about the interpretation of the vision. And he sought the Lord not for 2 days, not for 5 days, not for 12 days, but for 21 days. 3 weeks. He fasted. He says, I didn't even anoint myself. That may mean that he didn't even bother to bathe. I don't know. He was so... Now, I ask you a question. If God gave him the vision, and he was that desperate to understand the interpretation, what took 3 weeks? Could God have answered him like that if he wanted to?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Daniel chapter 10. I want you to look at verse 12 and 13. Brothers on 12, sisters on 13. Sisters, 13. So Daniel's prayer was heard on the very first day. And the angel was sent to answer the prayer. But the prince of Persia was there to stop him, okay? And the prince of Persia is not some little guy over there in Iran. The prince of Persia is an evil angel. He's one of Satan's minions. So Michael, the archangel, you read Revelations, Michael is the leader of the army that will kick Satan out of heaven. Michael is the warrior. He came. And he engaged the prince of Persia so the angel could be set free to go and reach Daniel. He was heard on his first day, but brothers and sisters, this spiritual warfare is real. Okay? This is not a video game. I want to name a video game. I don't know any. What's Fortnite? I don't. Does that have anything to do with fighting? I don't even know anything about it. The reason I know is because I drove up here with a carload of junior hires, and they were in Fortnite. And I don't know. I never played video games. I remember Pong. I couldn't even play Pong. I kept saying, how about Duck Hunt? Ding. I never hit a duck. No, this is not, there's no restart button.
Right.
It's not a video game.
Right.
This is real. There's a spiritual warfare going on.
Right.
And the Lord needs spiritual warriors. Amen?
Amen?
He needs those who will stand on his side.
Yes.
It's not a game. What we're talking about here is real and it's serious. And it includes you. It especially includes you, because you are the generation that's coming up, and it definitely includes you very much. So I want you to remember this. You may pray, and it may take a while to get an answer. You have to understand there's spiritual warfare going on. And now, remember what we're talking about now. This is God's move and God's work. This is for God's move and God's work. And if you read the whole account, you'll see the vision that Daniel got, and anyway, pretty far out. Anyway, I'll leave that up to you. Amen? Spiritual warfare is real, brothers and sisters. Don't think it's not, because it very much is. There's things going on we can't see, we can't fully understand, but it's there. Okay, we want to go on to F. Read F all together with a strong spirit. Strong in spirit.
Amen.
To pray unceasingly. Oh, one thing I wanted to mention on the spiritual warfare side. What do those t-shirts you're wearing say on the back? Oh, that's a little weak, ladies and gentlemen. Come on. What's it say?
On this rock I will build my church.
And what?
So
if the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it, that means the gates of Hades are doing what? Attacking it.
Right.
Amen. I just wanted to make sure that was clear. It's real. Okay. Now we want to talk about the next point, which is to be strong in spirit. Okay? There's a way to be that way. And it isn't because you pray once in a while when things go wrong. That is not the way. Okay? I want you to turn to Daniel one more time. My man Daniel. One more time. I want you to turn to Daniel 6. We're going to chapter 6, and we're going to look at verse 10. Chapter 6, verse 10. Now, let me set this up for you. There's all kinds of things always going on with Daniel and his friends, okay? You know, after Daniel interpreted the dream and all, and their status got very elevated, there was a lot of ministers and things around in the kingdom that didn't like him very much. So they convinced the king to, you know, cook up this bogus law that for 30 days, no one is allowed to petition either man or God. No praying. There's no praying. So they cooked up this bogus thing because they were laying for Daniel. They were trying to get Daniel. So they put together this thing, and the king said, oh, that sounds good, and he signed it. Okay? So for 30 days, no one could pray. All right? I want you to see Daniel's response to that. What was Daniel's response to the king saying, no one's allowed to pray for 30 days? Okay, I want to read these verses. Daniel 6, 10, all together.
Now when Daniel came to know that the writing had been signed, he went to his house in his upper room and had windows open toward Jerusalem. And three times daily he knelt on his knees and prayed and gave thanks before his God because he had always
Because he had always done so previously, right? He had a set time, he had a set place, and he always did it. So when the difficulty rose, when the problem rose, he wasn't shaken.
Right.
He didn't panic.
Right.
He didn't freak out. He said, oh, I can't pray? Okay, I'm going to go home and pray about that. I'm going to have to go and, you know, seek the Lord about that because I don't know. right? He was not bothered. He was rock solid because he had the habit three times a day, opened his window and prayed towards Jerusalem. Hallelujah. You know, Daniel was the foundation for everything returning to Jerusalem. Anyway, just a sidebar. Daniel and his friends and their prayer. So you need to have the habit, as has already been shared, I know, but we need to keep repeating it all the time. You need to have the habit. And even if in the beginning it's a habit. You know, I've had people say, I don't want it to be a habit. I want it to be spiritual. I'll tell you what. Start with the habit.
Right.
And it'll become spiritual.
Right.
Okay? Start with the habit. Have a prayer time. Have a time where you pray every day. Right? And then it'll become a spiritual habit.
Right.
And you'll become strong in spirit.
Amen.
Who wants to be strong in spirit?
Amen.
I want to be strong in spirit.
Amen.
Okay, well, there's a way to be strong in spirit. It's to have a prayer life. It's to have a personal prayer life and a prayer life with God's move and God's view in line.
Amen.
Right? Because the Lord is showing us a lot these days. I hope that you're seeing. I hope the spirit of wisdom and revelation is there. I know I'm seeing a lot. Hope you're getting to know your Father's will, right? We need vision, right? We need enlightenment, right? So that we can build. Can you guys build? You think you can build? Right. I want you to see yourself in the church life building. Building each other.
Amen?
Amen. Right? Building.
Amen.
It's God dispensing, God built it into men. I'm going to take that one back to Spain, let me tell you. I love that one. Oh, come see your man. I'm having the best time. Anyway. You know, there's just a real burden, brothers and sisters, that you'll see yourselves in God's plan. You are in God's plan. The Lord loves you, and the Lord needs you. But he needs people to make decisions for him. He needs people to say, amen. Amen. I will have a prayer life.
Amen.
I will go to meetings.
Amen.
This started off in meetings, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to come back around to meetings. How many here know for a fact in their locality that there is a prayer meeting? Raise your hands. The day, the time, you know that there's a prayer meeting, okay? How many here who are, what do we have, ninth grade on up here? Ninth grade on up to college age, let's just say, okay? How many feel that the prayer meeting is something for the adults? Raise your hand. Yeah, the prayer meeting. Yeah, my parents go to the prayer meeting. Or my dad goes, my mom stays home because I got little brothers and sisters. Or sometimes my mom goes, my dad stays home. Do you go? Me? What am I going to go for? It's the prayer meeting. The old people go to the prayer meeting. The adults go to the prayer meeting. Well, am I right or am I right? As a teacher I had used to say. Am I right or am I right? I used to say, I don't know. You're the teacher. Am I right or am I right? Yes. You don't go to the prayer meeting because it's for the older saints. No, it's not.
Right.
It's the prayer meeting.
Right.
Do you go to the Lord's table meeting?
Yeah.
Why? Why do you go to the Lord's table meeting? Wallace, why do you go to the Lord's table meeting? To enjoy the Lord. Wonderful. Yes, you go to the Lord's table meeting. Why don't you go to prayer meeting? Because it's for the old folks. The old folks pray. Brothers and sisters, we need to pray.
Amen.
And we need to see ourselves on God's side. And God's side is in the prayer meeting. You know, I remember, I always expose Ricky, but I remember I was in a meeting one time and Ricky said, you know, a lot of times people don't go to the prayer meeting, and I'll never forget this, I'm sorry. He said, it's just the prayer meeting. It's just the prayer meeting. I mean, that's our attitude. You go to the prayer meeting tonight? No. No, my parents are gone, but I'm staying home. You need to get on God's side.
Yes.
That's it. You need to get on God's side. You are in the Lord's army.
Right.
And he needs you. And we need you.
Right.
I mean, I can just imagine if I go to the prayer meeting, you know, and as we used to say years ago somewhere, the usual suspects are there.
Right.
You come in, you sit down. Yep, it's the usual suspects. I go home. Maria did stay home because there were, you know, 19 kids running around the house. Who was at the prayer meeting tonight? Usual suspects. The faithful ones is what I should have said. But imagine I go to the prayer meeting and you guys are there. I just flip out. Imagine I go to the prayer meeting and you're there. You know what I would do? I'd run over and sit in the middle of you. Oh, yeah, I got to get in on this. You are the church life.
Amen.
You are the church life.
Amen.
Stop seeing yourself as not being the church life.
Right.
You are the church life.
Amen.
So get in the church life.
Amen.
And the prayer meeting is a major part of the church life. Now, I'm going to close now. I want to leave you with one more portion from the Word, which I find fascinating, personally. This is just me, personally. I find this fascinating. Joshua 5. Joshua chapter 5. We're going to read 13, 14, and 15. Now, let me set this up for you. The children of Israel have crossed into what is going to be the good land. Right? Joshua, chosen by God to lead the children of Israel and to conquer the good land, right? You all should know this history. They've crossed over. They're near Jericho, and they're just getting ready to go down to Jericho and begin the conquering of the good land, right? And then Joshua apparently goes for a walk. It doesn't give us many details, but he goes for a walk and something happens. So I want to read these verses. Brothers, you read 13. Sisters, 14, and all of us on 15. Brothers, 13.
Now once, when Joshua was on Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there was a man standing opposite him, and his sword was drawn by his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries?
Sisters. All together.
And he said to him, what does my Lord speak to his servant? And the captain of Jehovah's army said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so.
Amen.
So this man with the sword was the Lord. This was the captain of the hosts of Jehovah. And Joshua, they're getting ready to attack Jericho. And Joshua asks him, are you on our side or are you on their side? Now, to my logical mind, this is Joshua, God's chosen one to lead God's chosen people into God's promised land to take it for his kingdom. So my logical mind tells me, I'm on your side. That's what I would think he would say. You're Joshua. These are my people. I promised this hundreds of years ago to Abraham, and now the fulfillment is going to happen. I'm on your side. What did he say?
Neither.
Neither. Neither. I'm not on your side, and I'm not on their side. You have to be on my side. Brothers and sisters, your Christian life shouldn't be trying to get God to be on your side.
Right.
Trying to take care of you all the time and fulfill your dreams. And he will. And of course he's on their side. But the point is, when he asked them whose side you're on, he said, neither. I'm on God's side.
Amen.
The Lord is on God's side.
Amen.
So we need to be on God's side.
Amen.
And the prayer meeting is very, very much being on God's side. Don't go to the prayer meeting because you feel like it. You don't go to the prayer meeting because you don't feel like it. You go to the prayer meeting because the battle is raging. And the prayer meeting is where we do battle corporately for God's kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to close there. I hope that there can be some response from you. Anything that touched you, shared you, anything you would like to say, if you feel like being on God's side,
amen,
that would be a wonderful thing.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yeah, I always forget that.
How about let our first response be in prayer? Let's pray first.
Amen.
Let's pray together. And